één hier. Tot in de Gospel Radio Sifania. De uitzending was zo direct geopend door zuster Henne vanuit de Heemskerk live. Met het openingsgebed en het Bijbelleesplan. Zuster Henna wat muziek. En daarna het woord van God. Het gesproken woord. Door zuster Corrie Oosterhuis. Sifania Radio wens een fijne gezegende luistertijd toe. Wilt u reageren? Bel gerust 020 33 76 81 3 of 020 42 32. Sifania Radio tot 1 uur. Goedendag, zuster Henna. Goedendag, zuster Henna.
Goedendag, broeder Cor.
Van harte welkom in de uitzending. Heel veel zegen bij het lezen. Gaat u gang.
Halleluja. Trouwe God en Vader, dank u wel, Heer. Dank u wel, Heer, voor deze nieuwe morgen. Dank u wel, Heer, voor deze nieuwe dag. Wij loven u, wij prijzen uw grote naam. En wij geven ook u alle eer. Vader, wij vragen om uw liefde, uw genade, uw trouw. Wij vragen om leiding in ons leven. En zo ook vraag ik een zegen voor een ieder die meeleest. En voor een ieder die meeluistert. Wij vragen een zegen voor Radio Sifania. Voor broeder Cor, zuster Marlene. Die het mogelijk maken dat uw woord, uw manna in de huiskamers terechtkomt. Ook dit nieuwe jaar 2019, Vader God, willen wij met u op pad. Willen wij u centraal stellen in ons leven. We willen meer en meer van u weten. We willen u meer en meer leren kennen. En hoe kunnen we dat? Door het woord te lezen. Door het woord te erkennen. Door te vragen, Vader, als we met vragen zitten, Heer, om te communiceren met u, Vader God. Om ons de wijsheid, de inzicht en de kracht te geven. En zo willen we het in 2019 weer samen onder uw leiding met u doen. Wij loven u, wij prijzen uw grote naam en geven u alle eer. Amen. En ook vanmorgen wilde ik een woord met u delen. En dat vindt u in Handelingen 19. Hoe zijn jullie dan gedoopt? Deze vraag van Paulus aan een twaalftal leerlingen in Efeze was opmerkelijk. Uit dit gedeelte blijkt dat Paulus deze leerlingen verder geholpen heeft in het navolgen van de weg van God. Misschien hebben deze mensen over de doop van Johannes gehoord door Apollos, voordat deze de weg van God kende. Apollos was vertrouwd met de doop van Johannes. Bij de doop waren de mensen die Paulus in Efeze sprak blijven steken. Johannes de Doper had gezegd: Hij die mij gezonden heeft om met water te dopen, zei hij tegen mij, wanneer je ziet dat de geest op iemand neerdaalt en blijft rusten, dan is dat degene die doopt met de Heilige Geest. Paulus heeft de leerlingen van Johannes daarop gedoopt in de naam van de Heer Jezus en hun de handen opgelegd, waarop de Heilige Geest op hen neerdaalde. Paulus en Apollos werden beide door God gebruikt. Ook wij kunnen elkaar ondersteunen en aanvullen. De stem van God. Soms roep ik mijn naam, zoals moeder die riep, als ze me wakker maakte. Dan hoor ik in mijn roep haar warme stem onder de trap. Nu denk ik aan wat vader zei. Ik riep je bij je naam, je bent van mij. Hoe zou hij klinken als hij me wakker roept? Dat ik hem toebehoor, troost mij voor eerst genoeg. Ik hoop dat u er klaar voor bent om samen met mij te lezen uit Handelingen 19 helemaal. Paulus in Efeze. Terwijl Apollos in Korinthe was, reisde Paulus door het bergland naar Efeze. Toen hij daar aankwam, vond hij enkele leerlingen van Johannes de Doper. Hebt u de Heilige Geest ontvangen toen u ging geloven? Vroeg hij. Nee, antwoordde zij. Wij hebben daar nog nooit van gehoord. Wat is de Heilige Geest? Hoe bent u dan gedoopt? Vroeg Paulus. Op de manier zoals Johannes het heeft gezegd, was het antwoord. Paulus zei, Johannes doopte mensen die tot bekering waren gekomen en hij zei dat ze moesten geloven in degene die naar hem zou komen, dat is Jezus. Nadat zij dat hadden gehoord, werden ze gedoopt in de naam van de Heer Jezus. Toen Paulus zijn handen op hen legde, kwam de Heilige Geest over hen. Zij spraken in vreemde talen en gaven woorden van God door. Ze waren met ongeveer 12 personen. Paulus ging gedurende 3 maanden regelmatig naar de synagoge en sprak daar vrijmoedig over het koninkrijk van God. Hij voerde veel gesprekken waarbij hij probeerde de mensen te overtuigen. Maar toen sommigen van hen koppig werden, hem te geloven en het nieuwe geloof openlijk bespottelijk maakten, keerde Paulus zich van hen af en nam de christenen uit de synagoge mee. Van toen af sprak hij elke dag in de school van Tyrannus. Dit deed hij meer dan 2 jaar, zodat alle inwoners van de provincie Azië, zowel Joden als Grieken, over Jezus hoorden. God deed door de handen van Paulus buitengewoon grote dingen. De mensen brachten zelf de zweetdoeken en gordeldoeken die hij gebruikt had naar de zieken. Die genazen dan een boze geesten gingen uit hen weg. Enkele rondreizende Joodse geestenbezweerders probeerden mensen van boze geesten te bevrijden door ook de naam van de Heer Jezus te gebruiken. Ze hadden daarvoor deze spreuk. Ik bezweer u bij de Jezus over wie Paulus spreekt. Het waren 7 zonen van Sceva, een van de Joodse leidende priesters. Toen die dit zeiden tegen een man die een boze geest had, antwoordde de geest. Jezus ken ik en van Paulus heb ik ook gehoord. Maar wie bent u? De man besprong hen en gaf hem er vreselijk van langs. Zij konden niets tegen hem beginnen en vluchtten naakt en gewond het huis uit. Iedereen in Efeze hoorde ervan, zowel de Joden als de Grieken. De angst sloeg hen om het hart en ze kregen allemaal een groot ontzag voor de naam van de Heere Jezus. Verscheidene christenen bekenden openlijk wat voor verkeerde dingen zij hadden gedaan. Velen die zich met toverij hadden bezig gehouden, gooiden hun toverboeken op een stapel en staken die voor de ogen van heel de stad in brand. Er ging naar schatting voor 50.000 zilverstukken in vlammen op. Zo werd de invloed van de woorden van de Heer steeds groter en sterker. Toen Paulus daar met zijn werk klaar was, voelde hij zich gedrongen eerst een reis door Macedonië en Achaïe te maken en pas daarna naar Jeruzalem terug te gaan. Als ik daar ben geweest, zei hij, moet ik naar Rome. Hij zond 2 van zijn medewerkers, Timotheus en Erastus, vooruit naar Macedonië, maar bleef zelf nog een tijdje in Azië. In dezelfde tijd ontstond er in Efeze grote opschudding over de persoon van Jezus. Het begon bij Demetrius, een zilversmid die zilveren tempeltjes van de godin Artemis maakte en vele vakmensenwerk verschafte. Hij riep zijn mannen bij elkaar, haalde er ook nog een andere vakbroeder bij en zei tegen hen, mannen, u weet dat wij in ons vak een goede boterham verdienen. Maar u hebt gehoord en gezien dat die Paulus heel veel mensen achter zich kreeg, niet alleen in Efeze, maar in bijna heel Azië. Hij maakt hun wijs dat met de hand gemaakte goden geen echte goden zijn. Onze zaken lopen daardoor gevaar. Straks raken wij onze tempeltjes aan de straatstenen niet meer kwijt. Maar dat niet alleen. Ook de tempel van de grote godin Artemis loopt gevaar uit de belangstelling te raken. Als het zo doorgaat, is die prachtige godin voor wie Azië en de hele wereld zich neerbuigt, straks vergeten. Bij het horen van die woorden werden de mannen woedend. Groot is Artemis van Efeze, schreeuwde zij. De hele stad kwam in rep en roer. Ze stormden met z'n allen naar het theater en sleurden Gaius en Aristarchus, twee Macedonische reisgenoten van Paulus, mee. Paulus wilde er zelf ook heen gaan, maar de christenen hielden hem tegen. Enkele bevriende hoge ambtenaren van de provincie Azië lieten hem waarschuwen dat hij zijn leven niet in gevaar moest brengen door het theater binnen te gaan. In het theater schrokken de mensen allemaal door elkaar. De meesten wisten niet eens wat er aan de hand was. Ze waren zomaar meegelopen. De Joden schoven een zeker Alexander naar voren, na hem geïnstrueerd te hebben wat hij moest zeggen. Hij hief zijn hand op en wilde zijn standpunt verdedigen. Maar toen de mensen merkten dat hij een Jood was en dus niet in Artemis geloofde, schreeuwden zij 2 uur lang in koor: Groot is Artemis van Efeze, groot Artemis van Efeze. Maar de secretaris van de stad bracht de gemoederen tot bedaren. Mannen van Efeze, riep hij, wie ter wereld weet nou niet dat Efeze de stad van de grote Artemis is? Wij zijn bewakers van haar beroemde tempel en van haar beeld dat uit de hemel is gevallen. Dat zal geen mens ontkennen. Blijf dus kalm en doe geen domme dingen. De mannen die u hier hebt gebracht zijn geen tempelrovers en hebben niets lelijks over onze godin gezegd. Als Demetrius en zijn werknemers iets tegen iemand hebben in te brengen, is het gerechtshof open en kunnen de rechters de zaak meteen in behandeling nemen. Houdt u aan de wettige procedures. Als er bepaalde wensen of verlangens zijn, kunnen die in officiële volksvergadering aan de orde komen. Maar maak een eind aan deze rel, anders krijgen wij moeilijkheden met de regering in Rome. Als die ons ter verantwoording roept, zullen wij ons niet kunnen verdedigen, want al deze drukte is voor niets. Daarmee maakte hij een einde aan de oploop en ging ieder zijn weegs. Luisteraars, ik wens u God zegen toe en zo de Heer het wil tot de volgende keer. Amen.
Amen, zuster Lena. Dank u wel voor uw inbreng in de uitzending van Stefania Radio. Een goede nacht, rust, fijne weekend en zo de Heer het leidt. Tot een volgende keer.
En daarmee bedoelen we
zondag. Bent u weer aan de beurt.
Ja hoor, broeder Koor. Goed dan. Groetjes. Tot zegen toegewend.
Dag. Dag, zuster Lena. Gesproken wordt door Pastor Samuel Lee.
Brothers and sisters, I have a question from you. Because of who are you here today? I don't hear you. Because of Jesus. And my message today is about Jesus. Sometimes we are so busy with so many things in the church, preach about so many things, we forget that the main reason why you and I are sitting here today is because of Jesus. And every one of you here today have your own story with Jesus. I have my own story with Jesus. You have your own story with Jesus. And we are here today because of one man. His name is Jesus. And we have to preach and teach and spread the message of Jesus to many people. Jesus is a great man. He was a king, yet he had no palace. He heard he was a king, yet he didn't have any bodyguards. He was a king. Hey, he did not have an army to conquer nations. He was a king, yet he never touched sword. Are you listening? He was a king, but humble. Today's message is about a king, and his name is Jesus. And I'm going to teach to you today about the Godhood of Jesus, because we believe that Jesus is God. And we believe that Jesus is the image of God. And many times Christians are being asked, why you Christians believe that Jesus is God? Where is it written in the Bible? I will show you today. Please open with me the book of Colossians. Because today we are going to talk about a wonderful man. His name is Jesus. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. First of all, I want just to jump to the middle of jump to verse 6, and then we go further. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 6. People of God, please listen with your heart. Do not listen with your ears. Listen with your heart. I'm telling you, before you go out of this building today, something will happen in your heart. Don't listen with your mind. Listen with your heart. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, first I read from verse 6. He says that has come to you all over the world. This gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood it. God's grace in all its truth. In other words, Apostle Paul is saying to the people of Colossians that the gospel of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit all over the world. When are we talking about? We are talking about the first century. Just after Jesus died, basically the entire known world already heard the gospel. Did they use sword? No. Did they use weapons? No. Did they go and kill people to make them a Christian? No. But the gospel was being heard. Hallelujah. Then we jump to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, and think that this you is you today, okay? For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. God wants to fill you with the knowledge of his will. God has a will for your life, and he's not going to tell you, you know, at once. He will give it to you gradually. Listen, God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him. The job of a Christian is to live a life worthy of the Lord. Amen? Worthy of the Lord. And please him in every way. Not only to be a follower of Jesus on Sunday, but Monday you forget. On Sunday you are reminded again. No, he says to be a follower of Jesus and please him every day in every aspect of our lives. Let's go further. Bearing fruit in every good work. Anything that you do, you bear a good fruit. Is it a business? You bear a good fruit. Is it a job? You bear a good fruit. Is it a friendship? You bear a good fruit. Is it whatever you do it for God. We go further. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. In other words, you believe in God and God will give you strength to be patient and endure. Not everything comes at once. Some things are coming to you gradually. But we go further. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life. Do you know that you are you have an inheritance? Not only from your father and mother, but you have an inheritance from God. Let's go further. That's not my message yet, but it's a good introduction to go there. Verse 13. For he, who is he? Come on, preach to me. Who is he? Jesus. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In other words, my brothers and sisters, Father, God the Father, through his Son, rescued you from darkness into light. You are no more belonging to darkness. You are no more the children of darkness. I am no more a child of darkness. I belong to light. My light is Jesus. Are we listening? Okay, we go further. Verse 13, once again, for he has rescued us from dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have forgiveness of sins. No matter what reckless life you have lived before, no matter what kind of living you had before, but once you are in Christ, your sins and my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Now listen, listen. Now here it comes. Our message is about Jesus. Verse 15. Do you have your Bibles with you today? All right. Verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, he is going to talk about Jesus. Look what he says. He is the image of the invisible God. Are you there? Look at this. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hello, Jesus Christ did not only live 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is forever. He was before, he came 2,000 years ago, and he is still today. He said he is the image of the invisible God, the God that you cannot see, the God that you cannot touch. Jesus Christ became human 2,000 years ago here on earth to live with you and me, to touch you and to touch me. Oh my goodness. Verse 16, put it there. Look at this. For by him were all things created. My goodness. If Jesus was not God, how can he create? Hello. For by him were all things created. You are also created by him. Hallelujah. For by him were all things. Can somebody say all things? What does all things mean? The earth, the planet, the stars, the ground, the sea, the stone, the plastic, the oil, your heart, my eyes, my feet, your leg, my head, anything that you can imagine, all things are in heaven, were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. My goodness. This is the evidence that God, Jesus, is God. Are we listening? He was made, everything, visible and invisible. In other words, let me tell you something visible. What is visible? This pulpit is visible. Your face is visible. God made you. You are beautiful because God made you. You don't need to change yourself. You don't need to decolor yourself. Some, you know, people, especially women, you want to lighten your skin. Oh. You don't need to lighten your skin. You are beautiful the way you are. White is beautiful. Black is beautiful. Asian is beautiful. African is beautiful. Everybody is beautiful because God made them. Hello. Hey. This is visible, isn't it? Touch your face. You see, it's visible, huh? When you look in mirror, you see yourself. It's visible. Amen? What is invisible? Love. Love is invisible in the beginning. Affection, feelings, spirit, heart. Hello. Jesus made it all. He is the creator of all. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go further. Verse 16 again. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were made by him and for him. He is before all things. Before all things. And in him all things hold together. My goodness. In him all things hold together. Do you know why your body is holding together? Your hand and leg. Of course we have biology. But it's because of Jesus. The whole earth is holding together because of Jesus. Listen with your heart, not with your brain. He says, all things hold together. Can you imagine? Can I tell you something? Can you imagine if God goes on strike for only 1 minute? My friend, the whole world will explode. There will be no gravity, you explode. There will be no sunshine, you die. Only imagine if God is fed up, God said, I'm fed up now, for 1 second I'm going on strike. If God goes 1 second on strike, the entire galaxy will go fall apart. Why? Because he is the one who holds everything. He holds your family, he holds your life, he holds your health, he holds your business, he holds your emotions. Everything you can imagine, he holds. Hey. Colossians. Verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Hey, in other words, he is the firstborn among the dead. What does it mean? Let me tell you. He is the first man who rise from the dead. He went into hell. Praise the Lord. Don't mind the child. You also cry like him before. Mm-hmm. You remember when Jesus died? Can I ask you something? When Jesus died, where did he go? He go to Hades for 3 days. What did he do then? He dismantled the power of the enemy. He rescued the dead. And he made a public display and disgrace of Satan. That's not my message. But he is the firstborn from the dead. Verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness. Please, look at this. For God was pleased to have all his fullness. That means everything that God the Father is, he put in Jesus. That is why Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. Wow. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. Jesus came to reconcile all things to him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In other words, the earth, the world was separated from God, But when Jesus died on the cross, he reconciled the world. He reconciled you. He reconciled me with the Father. My goodness. Are you getting it? Why? Verse 21. Read it there. Verse 21. Once you were alienated from God. In other words, once every one of you here today, you have a story, huh? Don't tell me you don't have a story. You have a story. I have my story. You have a story. And our story is we were alienated from God. We went our own way. We went our own roads. But through Jesus Christ, we are sitting together in this church because we love one man. His name is Jesus. Listen. For once, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight. Do you know, it doesn't matter how many sins you have done in your life. Do you know that? Father will no more see your sins. Are you listening today? But listen, he says he has done that. Look at verse 23. If you continue in your faith, it doesn't mean that, okay, Christ reconciled me, so he will cover me. So behind Christ, I can still do any bad things I can do because Christ has covered me. No, Christ does not work like that. He says if you continue, you begin and you end well. Hello? If you continue in your faith, established, firm, not moved from hope, held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature. That means animals, dogs, humans, mountains, birds, rivers, everything that has breath and no breath will serve the Lord. And of which I, Paul, have become a servant. In other words, listen carefully to me. In other words, hello? Christ is God. And Christ, God, became human to touch you and me. Let me give you an illustration. This is not my message yet. Wait, I'm coming. Many people cannot understand that Jesus is God. Let me give you an illustration for you to understand why we say God became man. Hello? About 20 years ago, there was a Korean man having a wife and a son. And the Korean man does not believe in God. He doesn't want to know God, but his wife is a very fanatic Christian, just like some of you women who are very fanatic Christians. But you cannot get hold of your husbands. You know what I'm talking about. And this man, you know, he respects his wife. He says, no problem. You can go to your church and whatever, but don't push me into these things. And I cannot believe that Jesus is God. And there was one day, Christmas, and Christmas in Korea is very cold. It was about minus 20 or something. And the wife said, honey, let's go to church. He said, no, I don't go to church. You go to church with your child, with our child. I relax at home, drink some beer, enjoy myself, watch television. No problem. So the woman went to the church. And when he was sitting, relaxing on the couch, playing with his television remote control, sipping the channels, a beautiful bird came and sit in the balcony out of nowhere. But the bird was shivering. She had very cold, this bird. What did he do? He said, let me try. Maybe I can feed this bird. And the bird is not afraid. The bird is not going anywhere. So he go and open the balcony. He put some water for him to drink. The bird don't drink. Because it's cold. He wants to help him to come in. If he stay outside, the bird might die. Something like that. So what happened? He tried everything to bring this bird inside. It's not working. Then he went and brought some, you know, something like birds eat, or bread or something. He put again in the balcony, tried to bring the bird inside. The bird is not going. Suddenly he become angry and he said, "Hey, I wish I could speak bird language and to tell to this bird that if he stay there, he will die." And at that moment, when he said that, God spoke to his heart. And God said to him, "You are that bird. But because I love you so much, I became like you. And I became a human being to come and tell you my love for you and my heart for you." And in that winter night, that man gave his life to Jesus Christ. And now he understood why God became human, just like he wanted to become a bird. Can you imagine this? This God, hello, listen to me, please. Listen with your heart, because something will happen to you today. This God that we just read, that all things was made by him. He made it. He created. He is the supremest of the supremes, the highest intelligence, all his glory, all his power. He changed and became human just for you, just for me. Just like you want to become a bird to help a bird. He left all his glory, all his power, all his splendor. He just became a human being, born from a virgin, and came to this world only because of you. Now, open with me the book of Romans, chapter 8. Please listen with your heart, not with your mind. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Somebody will be touched today. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. Onward, we will read it. Verse by verse, I will explain. Listen, imagine this God, this great man. Sometimes we are so happy because we become friend with the president of a country or a president of a company. We are so proud of it. We make selfies. We put it on Facebook. "Look, I have met the president of Philippines," or "I met the president of America." We put it on Facebook. But do you know that the president of all presidents has left his life, has sacrificed his life to be your friend? Man! That Jesus, look what he says now. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." This God that I'm talking about, this God, Jesus, he came to this world, amen? Are you listening? "So that all things," somebody say all things. What did he create? All things will work together. That means the heavens, earth, the stars, the United Nations, the governments, the dog, the cat, the animal, the whole thing will conspire together for the good to them that loves God. In other words, why do you worry so much when you go through problems in life? Because God will use everything and will turn it into a blessing in your life. Everything. Whether bad or good, whether lovely or not, God that I'm talking about, who left his life for you, will make sure, what? Will make sure that all things will work together for your benefit. My God, somebody praise the Lord. Who? Everything. Sometimes you say, oh, I took the wrong road. How many of you know how navigation works? Hello? Navigation. Do you know how navigation works? If you put navigation and he tell you go this direction, but sometimes you are talking to somebody, you forget to go that direction, you go totally a different direction, the navigation will still direct you to your destination. That is our God. No matter how many mistakes you have done, no matter how far you have gone, we have a God who will navigate you to your blessings. Hey, somebody say, I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Hey. Let's go further. Verse 31. What then? Somebody say, what then? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hey! Are you there? What does he say? To these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? That God who left the heavens and earth, that God who died for you and me, that God, if he is with you, who can be against you? Nobody. No presidents, no high commissioners, no police, no government, no principality, no powers, no problems, no difficulties, no difficult boss who is harming you or pushing too much on you to work harder. Nothing in this world. He who has an ear, let him hear with his heart. Because many Christians, including myself and you, are worried every day. We are worried. Why we are worried? Because we have not understood the power of God. If God is with you, put your chest forward, put your head upward, because you are a child of who? Are you getting it? If you get it, don't worry. Hey, don't worry. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not be also along with him, graciously give us all things? Hey, who will bring any change against those whom God has chosen? Who can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Do you know that you are God's chosen people? Not because you are chosen, you need to be arrogant with a big head as a Christian. No, that's not what I'm talking about. God chose you. And since God chose you, and you that your heart is with God, do not allow anyone, and God will not allow anyone to bring any charge against you. Wow. That's why the Bible is so nice. Verse 32. 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? In other words, don't condemn people. It's God who will condemn. Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. What does it mean? It means God at this moment intercedes for you. Do you know? My intercession is not 24/7 because I'm also being, sometimes I say, I'll for you. Honestly, maybe later I will forget. But Jesus will never forget. Jesus is 24/7. 24/7, he's interceding for you, man. He's interceding for your life. Some of us would have been already dead. God has already protected us from so many accidents. Even we might not know. He intercedes on us. He, on our behalf, he is in the presence of the Father and says, this is my son, this is your son, this is your daughter, this is your child. I may not allow Satan or anybody to touch this. My. Listen with your heart. Listen with your heart. My goodness. Are we there? Wow. Let's read verse 35. Oh man, the Bible is a love letter. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Can they separate us from the love of God? Listen, that God who created the heavens and earth, that God that I read for you from the book of Colossians, that God humbled himself so much to die for you and me. And that love is unbuyable. You can't buy that love. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Listen, you may go far away, but he still loves you. He may not agree with what you are doing. He may not agree with your lifestyle. He may even not like the way you are living, but yet he still loves you. My God. Shall trouble? Trouble. How many of you have troubles today? I'm telling you, half of you, or more than half. How many of you have hardships? Hey, many of you call me during the week, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I say, just 10 minutes ago, another person said the same thing. Persecution, famine, hunger, nakedness, or danger, sword, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. Listen, verse 37. No, let me read it from there. No, this translation is King James. I'm reading from NIV. But anyway, this is good. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. No, in all these things, you are more than conquerors. You will conquer hardship. You will conquer difficulties. You will conquer problems. You will conquer sickness. You will conquer cancer. You will conquer tumor. You will conquer the problems in your life because Jesus Christ will set you free. My God! Woo! Hey! No, he says, in all these things, we were more than a conqueror through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels or devils, neither the present or future, nor any power, neither high nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow. Can you imagine how much he loves you? Nor height, nor depth, nor any creature is able. Somebody say able. Is able. He cannot. To separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. No one has a greater love than this, than give his own life to his friends. Do you know how important you are? Can you not see how much value you have for Jesus. The king who had no palace loves you. Man. The greatest love story ever is his love for you. Do not worry. Do not think too hard. Just give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. The image of the invisible God. And when he died on the cross, what did he say? He said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait until I will send my spirit. And when he went to the Father, he did not leave you here as orphans. He just poured his spirit upon you. And you, and you, and touch you and change you. God. No one can separate you from the love that is in Jesus Christ. Will you stand up on your feet? No one. No one.
Kunnen luisteren naar het gesproken woord door pastor Samuel Lee van GCF Ministry in Amsterdam. Stefan Radio gelooft dat u dit gesproken woord ter harte heb genomen. Maar bovenal dat u gezegend bent geworden. Wij gaan zo direct uit. Wens u vanuit Studio 7 een gezegende nachtrust toe. En zo deer het leidt tot vannacht met een nieuwe aflevering. Gospel Radio Sevilla.
Jesus, buried all alone, alone.